You touch a key, and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off, then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on FM News Talk 92.3. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors, Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome back to another edition of the Computer Corner. It is, in fact, Ken Colburn, Kevin Church, Greg Jarvis, and Taylor Colburn. The data doctors du jour. We're going sans Brandon Disney this week because we can't. We all are also, we'll only be filling 1 hour of luscious airtime here on KTAR as we're going to make way for an annual event that is just one of the coolest things to still be on radio. It's like old-time radio.
I'm so thrilled that it's still on.
The KTAR broadcast of the Christmas Carol is going to be taking our second hour, so you'll have plenty to stay tuned for. I mean, it is really if you have youngsters that have never experienced that old time radio, I mean, this is it. So we have a very short period of time to give you all the information we want to give you today, which has to do with the hoaxes and the scams that tend to come around this time of year. They are prevalent, and they do go after those of you that especially have not... Thank you, Pete. I'm so organized today. I forgot to actually plug in headphones. I was so concerned about getting my food down.
Uh-huh. That's still not down. It's...
It's still not what?
Down.
But
still enough about of half it. The
but obviously my priorities are...
There's remains of hoagies littered about.
You know, you'd think after 12 years I'd figure out how this thing works. Duh.
No.
So anyway, we're going to be talking about the fact that this is the time of year a lot of holiday-based scams and hoaxes are going to start to appear. And we're going to try to give you some tips on how to spot them.
Yeah, like how can someone email you a gift, huh?
Well, if it's, let's say, a electronic gift certificate...
Oh, no, they said it was a package.
A package?
I got this email said that if I responded, they would email me a gift, and it was a box, and it was contained a surprise, and I still haven't gotten it.
Yeah.
I've been clicking on that thing.
You're a sucker.
What?
Yeah.
Why, how dare you, sir?
So we're going to talk about the things that you're likely to see, including Lisa had mentioned on the news broadcast that there's the real stuff, there's the fake stuff, and it all seems to be around either Christmas or the holidays, and... Lisa, you actually got one in your own personal mail here recently, didn't you?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how much my life seems to mirror your show often. But I got it from my sister, actually, who lives in another state and works for a school. So, and I, you know, listening to you, I know how to look for things and stuff like that, and I'll check stuff. And immediately it said, this was on CNN, and it was checked by, is it Snopes or Snoops? Or
Snopes, Snopes, yeah. And they put a link to the Snopes website, right.
Confirmed by Snopes. This came, and you know, and as you scroll down and see how it's been forwarded, originally it seems to have come from the tech director for the school. I mean, all of these were the edu. Whatever emails. And I just kind of ignored it. I was like, because usually I'll check on it and then go, don't you guys realize this stuff is not real by now? You know, and kind of.
But then you see those references to CNN.
Check.
You see the references to Snopes, which is a great website.
Yeah.
And you're going, well,
and this is
real?
About a virus. And it,
okay, so here's
I don't know what it was, but I didn't check it out yet, so I thought it might be one that you
here are the
about.
Signatures that tell you probably shouldn't take things like that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one is the source. Okay, not the sources referred to in the email, but the source of who actually sent it to you.
So if I saw it coming from these EDU addresses,
okay, so you're in the media.
Mm-hmm.
What's the likelihood of the general public having a jump on a story like this before the media would know? Not real likely.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Two, there's a real easy way to know if this is one of those long-standing, because this actually goes back to 2001,
really?
This hoax. that's been repackaged in 2004 and hasn't really been updated. It's been running the same way since 2004. It reappears every year at this time.
I've never seen one around this time
before. Yeah, and they just slightly modify it, and right. they keep adding these things to try to make them more realistic.
What's the purpose of this? If it's saying that there's a virus and, you know, protect yourself, but there's no virus?
Because there was a time when the most prevalent thing on the internet was people that basically had no life that thought, cool, let me see how many million people I can fool with this thing. And that's all they're just getting their jollies.
Yeah,
that's
it didn't ask to open anything, but I think it did say to forward to your friends. I didn't say forward, it said let your friends know. Ooh,
Tell everybody you know. Yeah. That's the signature right there. Uh-huh. No legitimate source of this kind of information ever includes anything that says send this to everyone you know. So as soon as you see that is the legends that kind of pop up from individuals. And again, it's how is it that the custodian's gardener's friend's hairdresser is suddenly the source of this information? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got to look at all those things. So usually you can start to see these signatures. But the best thing to do for anyone out there that's getting this and you want to see if it's real or not, do not ever take for granted that it is real just because they have references to CNN and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, if you just take the subject line for the mail or some section of the body, you know, the beginning, oh, this is going to burn up your computer,
right,
and just put that into Google.
I've done that. It's amazing.
But put it into quotation marks, right?
So now
it's only going to show you websites that have that exact string of text in those exact words, not a combination of, but only websites that have that exact string of text, which means it will be specifically about that email warning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll quickly figure out, yeah. Because if you go to the Snopes website and search for that particular email message at Snopes by yourself, it comes up and says, this is a hoax. Even though in the mail it says,
Snopes says
this
okay.
is real, right? Check this link out. And they're linking you to a real
fake
virus.
Snopes.
No, it's a real virus that had to do with e-cards, but it wasn't the same thing as this.
So is the Snopes address that they have on there?
It's legitimate. It just has nothing to do with this email.
Okay, so it's not a secret link to the virus.
No, it could be, though. So again, that's another, you know, one of these suspicious things. Don't click on the links. Do your own research.
So
Google is the best way to learn about anything anymore, including this kind of thing. And so...
So while it seems harmless, if you click on Snopes or whatever to try and see if it's real, you could end up shooting yourself in the foot.
Well, they could be sending you to what's called a phishing site, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that they want to try to... Now, that would be... this particular hoax that you got, there's no harm, really. You know, if you fall for it, the worst thing is that you get a bunch of other people all riled up about something that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just creating extra traffic, which is really the shame, because if everybody followed that and sent it to everybody they knew, within about five generations, we're talking about millions of people that are suddenly now circulating this false information.
When they do stuff like that, do they track your email? I mean, is somebody getting a list of all these emails that they can start junk mailing?
No, see, this goes back to before the organized crime units got involved with hacking and hoaxes, okay? So they're just trying to simply...
irritate you.
They're getting their jollies.
And they're being buttheads.
Yeah, but they go back. This goes back to 2001, 2004. Nowadays, they're a lot more clever. They're going to try to steal your identity. They're going to try to plant something in your computer. So this all applies, and throughout the show here, we're going to try to give people more tips on what to do when you don't know what to do. Because that's really what the issue is, because it's going to change every 10 minutes.
So the last quick question I have for you. So hoaxes versus, obviously I know a virus is going to be damaging to your computer. Are hoaxes generally leading to viruses, or are they just annoying?
In the past, hoaxes were just hoaxes.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it could very well be, right?
Okay.
So you got to watch that. You got to watch that traffic on the internet that's coming through your computer. And you also have to watch the traffic on the streets of the mean streets of Phoenix.
Nice.
And Ray Gardner's going to tell us exactly how to avoid those problems. Ray? Wow, that's pretty edgy stuff, huh?
It's the computer corner! Computer corner!
Our death metal introduction.
Thanks, Pete. I love it. That's, he knows we don't want to overdo it with the holiday music, so I wouldn't say this ever gets misconstrued, right? Oh, it is. He worked both in.
Nifty.
He's awesome. Hi, we're talking about holiday hoaxes and scams and the kind of things that you need to be watching out for. You know what? If all holiday music was that, you know, I could do it.
Yeah, it's driving.
It is. High energy. I'm good. We spent quite a bit of time talking about what seems to be a very common email right now, which is, you know, according to CNN and Snopes and all this stuff, there's a Merry Christmas virus. Don't open it. It's going to burn up your hard drive. Actually, this has been going around for many, many, many years. And the reason it keeps going around is people take it upon themselves. Lisa was asking, when is it okay to send a warning to your friends? Okay, listen very closely, everyone in Radio Land. Never. You are not the beacon of information for others in technology, and unless you're willing to do the work to absolutely verify the information, you should never take it upon yourself to send information out to everybody that you know because you think you're going to be the first one to tell them. As I said with Lisa, what's the likelihood that the average Joe is going to learn about something realistic like this before the antivirus companies, before the media, before all the other people that are out there that are constantly watching for this stuff and report on it, and you generally hear about the real stuff in the news? I get the call from media all over the country saying, is this real, is this not real, can you come on our show, can you talk? Those of us that do this every day, we will be able to tell you before that you could possibly even realize what's going on. So you really can't, there's just, don't take it on yourself just because you're going to be wrong more times than you're right. And you're going to look foolish and you're going to, you know, it's just, don't, just forget about that being one of the things you think about. Sign up to newsletters, go to resources that you trust, get your information from trusted sources just like you do in the real world. Do the same thing online. Sign up for our newsletter if you like this show. We'll warn you about the real stuff. That's the whole thing, is we're going to filter out all the stuff that's going on and tell you what's real that's likely to actually have an impact on your life, not some remote possibility, which is what most of the antivirus companies will tell you. You know, everything that could possibly ever happen, we look at it and go, well, nobody listening to our show, or very few people listening to our show, have servers at home, so we don't have to worry about it. So we're going to go through that.
Do you think it's just someone new at technology? I mean, just like, I just figured out the email, and then they get this warning and go, I must spread this to everyone.
Well, and it says right in there, yeah, send this to everyone you know, and that's specifically targeted to what's called newbies.
Mm-hmm.
People that don't really understand how this all works, and they're new to this thing. And
A.K.A. Jarvis.
Jarvis. Mark's gone the line here. Mark, thanks for joining us. You have some, either a question or feedback on dealing with scam emails?
Well, want to add to what you're saying, you'll get from very well-intentioned friends memos that say, hey, there's a Congress bill out that says this and this. And the well-intentioned friends, like you said, type in the word, Google the word hoax, along with some quotes from that. I mean, it'll save just endless hours.
Yes.
And well, you get it, like I said, from very well-intentioned friends, and the email's legitimate. You say, oh, this is my, I know her, she's only serious about these things.
Correct, yeah.
And like I said, Congress bills.
They're going to start taxing the Internet. How many times have we seen that one, right?
Yeah.
Write your congressman.
They're going to text your email.
I remember the best one was there was an amendment going to expire that allowed African Americans to vote, and you had to.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
That's so retarded.
But you know what? Yeah. People are, for some reason, very intelligent people that walk around and make very good decisions in the real world turn into blabbering idiots on the Internet. And,
email them back with a link saying, check out this link. You know, once again, you're then assuming that the MythBuster is more accurate than the actual
Exactly. And then Snopes, SNOPES.com, is a very good website. It's got a little search engine. So, again, you can just put the string of text in there. We thank you for that input, Mark. Great comments. Just put that in there. Put any part of that email that you got to see, is this real? Is it? Because they'll tell you that's a real thing and that's a hoax. And again, it's not because you then have to be the beacon of information to everybody in the world. You just now know how to handle that particular situation. That's all you want to do. Again, look at trusted sources, and we'll give you lots of links on our website, datadoctors.com, including the ability to sign up to our free weekly newsletter that we will tell you the kinds of things that you should be concerned about. In fact, later on in the show, which we only have a half an hour left, but later on we'll talk about some of the items that are in this week's newsletter, some of the things that you may want to learn more about here. So 602-277-5827, and of course, join us. back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about holiday hoaxes and scams and stuff you should be on the lookout for when it comes to this time of year. It's fake charities, e-cards, a big one, holiday e-cards. Somebody has sent you a holiday e-card. Click here. Anything that that says click here and then says, well, you have to install this in order for you to be able to see or hear or view what it is that the email was talking about, not a good idea. In fact, it's not a good idea to click on any links in any email anymore. Forget it. Ever. Copy and paste, manually type in, with one exception. There's one exception to the email that you're going to get in your inbox where you can click on the links and absolutely know every time you're going to be absolutely safe.
And that is?
Our newsletter.
Oh!
This week's newsletter, we give you tips on how to, you know, when you type in a web address or you click on a link in Google, mm-hmm. and it goes to it says 404, page not found, because that's known as link rot, by the way.
Link rot?
Link rot, yeah.
Okay.
The link is no longer valid, so that's...
Rotted on the vine.
Right. Okay. So when you click on that and you're going, well, I really would like to have seen that. Well, there's two options you have. One that we've posted in this week's newsletter, which is backing up mm-hmm. to the root mm-hmm. of that. And the instructions are right on our newsletter. Or if you go to Google, if you're actually doing this through Google, below where you would click and it has the description, there's an option that says cached.
Oh.
That means Google made a copy of that content. And it's on their server. So if it's not available on the real site, you can go back and look at the cached version, which would be the last known copy that Google had, and still get that content.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You got that? You got how to opt out of credit card, those pre-approved firm offers for insurance and credit cards? It's a nice link to that. If you have an HP laptop, they found a way for folks to get into your machine through the internet, so there's a piece of software you're probably going to want to disable. That's in this week's newsletter. A CompUSA stores are closing. What's that mean for you? If you have service, you have, I mean, whatever's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the most important segment of the show, of the newsletter, everything, our Geek Speak of the Week. Mm-hmm. That's where we try to teach you something new. And this week's Geek Speak of the Week is very apropos because of all the online shopping and everything that's going on. It's click and mortar. You've heard of brick and mortar, right?
Yeah.
You know what brick and mortar refers to in retail as a physical entity?
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure you can figure out what click and mortar refers to.
You order it online.
Yes.
And then you go to the store to pick it up.
Actually, it's any retailer that basically has both an online presence and a physical brick and mortar presence.
Uh-huh.
They call them click and mortar. The best click and mortar companies have a seamless integration between the two so that you can, say, buy it online and then go pick it up at the brick and mortar site.
Yeah.
Or buy it online, have it get shipped to you, and then if you ever had a problem, instead of having shipping it back, you can take it to the brick and mortar location for service, exchange, return, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a nice combination. And, you know, do you remember the internet boom and things were going nuts?
Mm-hmm.
They very quickly realized that after the bubble, like after all this hoopla, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best companies, the ones that are going to have the longest tenure and probably the best chance for success are the ones that are going to be click and mortar. Mm-hmm. And combine the two because you're leveraging both worlds.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look at Amazon. As big as they are, they're not that big because they're only online.
Mm-hmm.
What if they had an Amazon store and the Amazon online and, you know, go back and forth? How much more business would they be doing with you and I and so on and so forth? So,
I think the problem, well, the reason Amazon is as big as it is have you heard of the concept of the long tail?
Yeah.
That doesn't, and if they ever go to a brick-and-mortar store, they lose that.
Not really, because they wouldn't be giving up their online component.
You're right.
They would be doing both.
I hate it when you do that, when you just shoot me down in
I
one
live
sentence.
With him. Okay, I live with them. That's every day for me.
One
so.
Sentence, and I'm just, my arguments.
Taylor?
Yeah.
Watch and learn. Okay. All right, now, in the 12, 13, I lost count how many years we've been doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email question that I, absolutely one of the strangest, most unusual, but I think amusing and interesting and important enough for me to read on the air. And this, Pete wants to know, he says, he wrote, the topic is mouse electrocution danger, which is always intriguing, right? Thinking, this is going to be new. Picture a senior citizen woman at her computer with her feet in a foot bath whirlpool. Okay, everybody visualize?
Yeah. All right. Painfully, but
her,
yeah.
Her mouse is on a mouse pad or a box on her thigh. More visuals.
Okay.
Okay. Elderly woman.
Thigh.
Foot in foot whirlpool. Yeah. Mouse on thigh. The mouse falls into the foot bath. Da-da-da. Is there a danger of electrocution? This is a real concern because I would like to get my mom a foot bath for Christmas. And if I can convince her to use it while she's on the computer, the foot bath might not just wind up in the closet getting dusty. By the way, it's an optical mouse, if that matters. Thanks. It wasn't Pete. It's Mike. Mike asks.
I think there's an easy answer to that.
Which is?
I don't know anybody that's successful by using electronics near water.
Well, but in this case, the concern about what happens if the mouse falls into the bath, there's no concern. There's no actionable voltage. There's a little teeny tiny...
shock.
Trickle. No, not even a shock. You wouldn't even feel anything. Now, the mouse itself probably wouldn't be real happy. Mm-hmm. In fact, it would probably have to be replaced. But, Mike, feel free to get your mom that whirlpool and encourage her to use it while she's on her computer. I think that would be very therapeutic. The only thing I would not suggest...
Mm-hmm. It's knocking it over.
...is having her use that mouse as a foot pedal while she's in the whirlpool. It's another combination of things that people... Now they think it's a gas pedal or, you know, like a sewing machine where you step on that thing.
Well, here's another weird thing to think about. Where do you normally put your surge protector or your battery backup to your computer? It's usually near your feet.
Yeah.
So if you've got a tub full of water and that thing sitting there,
well, you'd have to take that big heavy thing and dump it into the whirlpool. not real likely. Or you'd have to kick the water off, which is more likely to happen. Kick that soap. Got to tell mom to be careful. Don't get hurt. Hey, by the way, some of the more common scams out there. We've got links from Bankrate and various other websites that are giving you kind of recurring themes, but a lot of the stuff's been updated for what's going on. The fake charities, the spam solicitations, online auction scams. Taylor, when you see something, you're out looking. You, of all people I know, are just constantly looking for electronics and cool deals and all that stuff, right?
Right.
So you run into a website that's got something that you've been looking at, and they're substantially cheaper than everyone else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I found an iPod Touch for $200. I mean, that's $100 less than anything you're going to find.
So right away you're going, yes, I read cool, right?
Yeah.
But what do you do next?
Go to Google, and you just type in the name of the website. And stuff like reviews or forums.
And why are you doing that?
To see if it's fake or not. Because if it's that good, you have to make sure it's not a hoax. It's not just someone trying to get your information, and it's fake. And like that actually, you know, when that actually happened, I looked it up, and most of the reviews either said it was really bad service or that it was a scam.
Yeah. So anytime, the bottom line, folks, is electronics in general, the profit margin in today's world is very, very thin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the likelihood of one company selling the exact same product substantially cheaper than everyone else is very low, unless it is what's called a loss leader, where they absolutely are doing it to lose money. And usually when that happens, it's tied to you can only buy this at this price as long if you sign up for or do something else to make it worth their while.
Right.
So you're going to have to do your homework to figure that out. Or more likely when it's on the internet, too good to be true...
It isn't.
It's generally the case.
Yeah.
There are websites that will tell you what the going price is on anything out there. So don't ever make your decision based on whatever you see on one website. Unless it's somebody you've already done business with that you trust and so on and so forth. If it's a new website that comes up with a great price, go look at websites like Price Grabber. This is one of the links that we had from a couple of weeks ago, online shopping references. Price Grabber will tell you what all the major retailers online are selling any product for. Price Watch is another one, especially if you're into electronics. They'll tell you the very best prices that are out there, and they constantly are watching over these legitimate retailers to figure out what the going price is. So if you can get it for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5% less, great. Starts to get into 10 or 20 or 30 or 100, you know, 50%, or anything like that mm-hmm. on the internet. The internet is about price for the most part. Everybody's vying for your dollar at the lowest possible price, so the differences in price are going to be so minimal that the minute you see something that's so much cheaper than everyone else, your antenna's got to come on.
Mm-hmm. There's only a few exceptions to that. Like, you know when you, a lot of those things you see, like free iPods or free phone, like a lot of those are fake. But if you find some of them, and a lot of them are just, you know, sign up for a few of these $2 trials, a lot of them, they can do that because they're getting business.
Yes,
they're,
but you're
paid by people.
The likelihood
business.
Of you being the one person to win that prize?
No, I'm not saying like win. It's not like entering a contest. I'm saying where they like you have to complete 6 offers of, you know, you can do the 6 cheapest offers.
Yeah, but still, you have to pay something.
Right, you still have to pay something. It's not technically free, but it's going to cost you a lot less.
Yeah, and we don't want to recommend anybody even go down that path. Any of those things that are jumping around going, catch me and you'll win an iPod, or any of those things to try to get you to give up your information is valuable. You have to protect it. You don't want to just give it away.
No.
Willy-nilly. Let's see here. When we come back from this next break... This traffic update. Kevin, you and I need to talk about some of the business owners out there, what they should be thinking about. We're getting close to the end of the year. Let's just give them some food for thought when it comes to what's going to happen in 2008 so that they can be proactive and save themselves some money. But in the meantime, let's go see about saving you some time right this here now by having Ray Garner tell you what's going on and where to stay away from where on the streets of Phoenix.
Ken, how's business?
Business is good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
That was your link to go to the business.
It's the business segment. Oh, okay.
Wow.
I'm a little slow today.
Sharp as a marble today, I am.
That was a pitch.
In the computer corner here, it's the Data Doctors here. I want to give you a little tip for all you business owners. Don't do what most business owners do at the turn of the holidays. Take this moment to think through your strategy for 2008. Mr. Church, since you deal with small businesses all week long, what advice might you have for those folks out there that have a small business that generally ignore their technology until it breaks?
I'd say the biggest thing is with 2008, there's going to be a lot of new software from Microsoft for servers and things like that. A lot of those folks that are using the 7, 8, 9-year-old software-based server that isn't really working right, but they're kind of waiting for whatever.
A reason.
Need to take advantage of everything right now and figure out what they need to do.
Yeah, or at least look at the strategy. How about the simple stuff like, is your backup system really capable of protecting you from a fire, a flood, a theft, employee sabotage, all those things that are threatening your data? How about power protection? How often do we walk into a business and they've got little to no solid power protection? So expensive.
Even just little things like license keys, yeah. Knowing that what they have is actually legal.
Software pirating, all that stuff. So if you need help, ask for it. Somebody out there can help you. You do this all the time, don't you?
We do it every day.
If they want your help, you'll no charge. You come and talk to them at their business just to explain to the, give them our little prescription thing so that they can figure out what's going on and assess their own business.
Exactly.
How do they get a hold of you during the week?
It's 480-921-2444, option 3.
There you go. You're listening to the show. You got a small business. There you go. You can have Kevin help you during the week. Tammy, you called in with a question that I think is just so appropriate. I wanted to make sure we try to squeeze this in on the air. What was your question?
Okay, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I wanted to know, if I'm interested in something and I Google it. Now,
yes.
I know on Google that best people usually get the first couple. If I to buy something for the first 5 pages of business, are those usually legitimate business?
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. The cell phone. I know exactly what she was asking. Can I trust the stuff? The first 5 that come up, the first 5 items that come up. Can I trust it, or is it going to be a scam? Google doesn't use any human process for deciding who comes up on that. That's all done through what's called algorithms and that kind of thing. The only thing Google will sell is those sponsored links that you see across the top and along the right hand side. That's where people can bid for certain key phrases. The bottom line, though, is Google can't police everything that's going on, so they'll have no idea whether it's a scam or not. They're just looking at the content of the website and comparing it to the search phrase that you put in to see if there's a match based on that. Not the quality of the content, not necessarily if it's a scam. Now, if they know it's a scam, you know, there's some things that they can do, but generally speaking, they can't really control that part of it. So you got a 50-50 chance. Just because it comes up tops in Google doesn't mean it's necessarily bad or good, but you got to be, you know, it's buyer beware, just like with everything else. Google can't possibly police exactly what happens after you go to that website. They can only tell you, based on your key phrase, this website seems to have the content that you're looking for. They're looking for that connection, and that's how they do everything as far as figuring out who gets top placement. And so there's a lot of technology that goes into that. There's a lot of techniques that you have to employ to get to that point. And unfortunately, the scammers are real good at doing that. They know how to trick Google into giving one of their sites or a blog or something. And usually what they do is they set it up so that the site that ranks highly looks okay, but on that site is a bunch of links to a bunch of scam sites. Okay? Or if they're trying to make this website look good, then they will create another website that seems to be like a non-profit organization or some agency that's unassociated that gives them a very high ranking. And all along it's the same people. You see? So there's those kinds of things. There's no way Google could ever possibly police that because it's just a constant issue. So, just like with everything else, Google does a great job of bringing you relevant results, but the content, you know, it's buyer beware, if you will, throughout that thing. So we've got and Terry, you have a QuickBooks or a Quicken question. I'm going to handle yours question off the air. That way I can get you exactly what you need. So I apologize I didn't get you on the air, but I will take care of you after we finish up here. If you want to get up to speed on all the holiday hoaxes and scams that are going on, we've got them posted at our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section, and there's a plethora of information there. Take a few minutes, read through it so you understand, okay, these are the kinds of things that are going to be coming. This is what the email hoaxes look like. This is what the holiday e-cards look like. That's why we put that together for you. And, of course, while you're there, if you like what you hear, you like what you see, sign up for our free weekly newsletter where we'll send you what we believe are the most important things for you to consider every week, along with a little levity in our Geek Speak of the Week. And our advice column this week is, you know, how do I deal with these online video and television offers that I'm getting? Are they real? Can I trust this stuff? How do I know? There you have it.